Well, since this is a baptism Sunday, it's quite appropriate I lead you through this exercise. So I want you all to grab your wallet or your purse or your checkbook out of your pocket or dig it out of your purses, ladies. Thank you. Yes, I'll take them up here. No, seriously, grab your wallet or checkbook or whatever you might have on you, your ATM card. I'll wait for you. Do you have them? Okay. Now lift them above your head. Lift them up high. All right. We just sung about lifting up our hearts so that God can seal them for his courts above. I want to tell you a wee story as you keep these lifted up. The Visigoths were an ancient tribe in Europe, a marauding tribe in Europe. They wreaked havoc on all kinds of civilizations and ultimately brought the downfall of the Roman Empire. The Visigoths, however, had converted to Christianity. And when they were baptized, often their armies en masse, 3,000 or so soldiers, would go to the lake or the river where the evangelist was preaching and calling them to repentance and confession and to receive the forgiveness of their sins. But they did not want to give up their marauding ways. They wanted to continue to wreak havoc on Europe. And so when the soldiers went into the river or the lake to be baptized en masse by the evangelist, they would take their sword out of its sheath and keep it raised up above their heads so that their bodies would be baptized, but their swords would not. So lift up your checkbooks and wallets and pray with me right now. Let us pray. Holy Father, Lord, we want you to baptize not just our hearts, but our wallets as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can put them away. Now, Jacob had two wives, and he was bound by a covenant to both of them. But the last verse that you heard read says that he loved Rachel much more than he loved Leah. Now, Leah did not like being the backup wife. I mean, who would? None of us want to be the backup date, the backup friend. None of us like being anybody's second choice or last choice. It's a painful experience when that happens to us. Now, just because Jacob honored his marital commitment to Leah, it never got translated into actual love for Leah. His love all went to Rachel. Now, the good news for us as the church, as God's bride, is that he's committed to us. He's committed to his church, to us, his bride, and he loves us. We're not his second choice. We're not his third choice. We're his first choice. Unfortunately, though, sometimes, even though we are God's first choice and true love, we sometimes look at ourselves as though we might be Leah instead of Rachel. We might think, well, you know, we're not as big as Schenkel. We're not as rich as some of the Presbyterian congregations out there. We're not as contemporary or hip as CFC and Belfast. We're just little old St. Saviors in Dollingstown. Sorry, I forgot my slides up there. So, but Gareth told me just the other night this week that St. Saviors and Holy and Undivided Trinity in Mar-a-Lynn, our parish is probably about the fifth largest parish in the Diocese of Down and Dromore. The fifth largest out of about 78 parishes in our diocese. Now, before I came here, I had people in America, bishops in America, telling me that the Diocese of Down and Dromore is probably the strongest diocese in the whole of Church of Ireland. probably the best diocese in the whole Church of Ireland, and is actually one of the best dioceses in the whole of the Anglican Communion. So if you can imagine, brothers and sisters, that we have the privilege of being a part of the fifth largest congregation, the fifth largest parish, in one of the best dioceses in the whole world of the Anglican Church. Now, a lot of people would call us and put us in an elite category, therefore, of what we call resource parishes, resource churches, resource parishes. Let me describe what a resource parish is. A resource parish is a parish where the people feel energized and a deep sense of satisfaction because they don't waste their precious time on busy work, but they're focused on fulfilling the great commandment to love others and the great commission to disciple others. A resource parish is a parish that has freed itself from constant fundraising because it is a parish that has learned the lesson that God provides for the needs of the church through the tithes and offerings of the people. A resource parish is a parish where the select vestry doesn't have to wring its hands worrying about whether cash flow is going to meet payroll this month, but rather it's a parish where the select vestry is able to allocate tens of thousands of pounds each year for things like children's ministry, for discipleship, for church planning. I mean, think, Melanie and Diane, if you were given a budget of 10,000 pounds this year for children's ministry, what could you do in children's ministry? A resource parish is a parish where the people are not afraid of the church having too much money because they know that the church is wisely and boldly advancing the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, I have a question for you this morning. Do you feel energized? Do you want to be free from fundraising? Do you want your select vestry to dream big dreams? Do you want to be a part of boldly advancing the kingdom of God? Now, as it is, we ended 2013 barely making ends meet. Now, I've been told by the treasurer, you are to be commended, because if we take our plate offerings, envelopes and loose change, and we add that with all of the seed money and all of the other fundraising we did for the renovation of the Marlin Church right now, then we had a total last year of about £242,231 coming in for the church. And that is better than the year before, but yet we barely made ends meet. Now let me pause here and tell you a little story. One day, there was a rector of a church in Kenya, and he went out to one of his parishioners, a farmer, and he asked the farmer, say, if you had 100 acres of maize, would you give 10 of those acres to the church? And the farmer scratched his head, and he thought for a moment. He says, well, you know, I don't grow maize, but yeah, I suppose if I had 100 acres of maize, I'd give the church 10 acres. And he said, well, if you had 100 coconut trees, would you give 10 of them to the church? And he says, well, yeah, I guess so. I'd give 10 to the church. And then the rector said, well, if you had 100 cows, would you give 10 of those to the church? And he says, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. And the pastor said, well, why not? He says, you know I have 100 cows. Now, I think I know what's holding us back. I know because I've done it myself. Now, Nancy and I have always tried to give as much as we could to the church, and at times we have been able to budget ourselves to tithe 10% of our income to the church. Our problem was that we justified in our minds not giving the whole 10% to the church. What we justified in our minds was we gave a certain slice to the church, but the rest of it we gave to things like supporting a boy in Uganda, or supporting World Vision, or supporting special needs kids in Kentucky, and great Christian ministries like that. But our whole tithe never went to God's bride, to the church, where God asked it to go to. Now, since we've been here, and since we've been challenged by the Provision Program, we've decided for this year that we are going to give now not just 10%, but we are going to up it and work to give 11%. Now, for us, that works out to about 44 pounds a week, which is 2,288 pounds a year. Now, if we look at the annual financial report for 2012, which all of the members would have received last spring, the numbers break down like this. According to the anonymous envelope report in the back of that report there, there are 9 envelopes which are giving more than that 2288. 9 more. So that means that this year, if that remained the same, we would be number 10. Number 9 or 10, that works out to be about the top 2% in the parish. Now, I can guarantee you that I am nowhere near being the top 2% of household income in this parish. I can guarantee you that. Now, let's start with those of us who are really struggling, okay? I've gone to the Northern Ireland government statistics, the latest statistics available, and it says that about 2 out of 12 of us are what they call low income. So maybe you've had some sort of major medical crisis that has depleted you. Maybe you're underemployed. Maybe you have some other problems that have caused you to be what they consider low income. That's about 2 out of 12 of us. About 1 out of 12 of us is just flat unemployed right now. Okay, no job, no income whatsoever. Now, if we add all that up, that comes out to be about 25%. But for the sake of argument, let's expand that group and just say that 1 out of 3 of us is really struggling day to day, okay? 1 out of 3 of us. Now, 33% of the 434 envelope units works out to be about 145 people. Now, I calculated based on those 2012 reports that you take that third of people who are able to give what they are, and that totaled in 2012 10,730 pounds from those 145 envelope units. The average would work out to be 74 pounds a year or 142 a week. Now let's jump to the other end of the spectrum. Now the government tells me that at least 38% of you 38%, it's probably more like 48, but for argument's sake, I'm going to make it 38. More like 38% of you are making a lot more than my household is, okay? But for argument's sake, let's reduce that to just 33%. So again, we're working with 145. That means that theoretically, 145 of you, 145 of us, ought to be giving more than what my household can give. 145. Right now, only 9 are. All right. Now, those 9 are giving, in 2012, they gave 36,359 pounds, which works out to about 4,000 pounds a year for each of them, 78 pounds a week. Now, even if that group, that top third of income earners in this parish, only gave what we're seeking to give, 44 pounds a week, that would total 331,760 pounds if that top third in our parish only gave 44 pounds a week. Now, for the remaining third of us in the middle, even if the 145 of us in the middle income bracket of this parish gave only 19 pounds a week, about 1,000 a year,
that in itself would be 145,000 pounds for the year. So we've got 10,730 from the first third, those of us who are genuinely struggling. From the middle of us, there's 145. And from the top third, there could easily be 331,760. So you add all that up, that's 487,490 pounds. And brothers and sisters, there is no earthly reason, no earthly reason, and certainly no heavenly reason why this parish, by December 31st of 2013, could not have 487,000 pounds come in through our regular tithes and offerings. And frankly, I think that even by 2020, which is only 6 years away, if you wanted to, this parish could easily have a budget of £1 million a year. That is not unrealistic. Now, you are women and men of God. And I believe our parish is at a turning point. I think that God is testing us. He wants us to decide what kind of parish we want to be. Do we want to be free from fundraising? Do we want to be a resource parish that ministers not only right here in Dollingstown and Mara Lynn, but is a place where others come to be fed and nourished, to go back to their parishes so that they can minister more effectively? Do we want to be a parish known as one that boldly advances the kingdom of God? Or do we just want to be a parish known for its fundraisers, struggling to keep up with the upkeep? Now, as the band comes up, I want to ask us to do another exercise here. You know, sometimes evangelists ask people to close their eyes and bow their heads, and if they want to commit their lives to the Lord, to raise their hand. I'm going to ask us to do that in another way. Just like sometimes we have an easier time telling God that we want to give him our heart, but we have a harder time saying, God, here's my wallet too. I want us to go before him now and to see what he wants us to give to him. So I invite you to close your eyes right now and bow your heads. Holy God, we're sorry for times when we've treated your church like Leah instead of Rachel. Father, today we want you to baptize not only our hearts, but our wallets as well. Right now, keeping your eyes closed, if you want to commit to start next Sunday tithing off of your salary or wage, or if you want to be one of those 145 who commit to giving at least 44 pounds a week, then I invite you to raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed and just raise your hand. Nobody's going to write your name down. Nobody's going to come and keep you accountable. This is between you and God. And you're raising your hand just to make a commitment to God. Holy Father, you can put your hands down. Thank you. Holy Father, I ask that you see these commitments, Lord, and that you would bless these people and all of your people mightily. We want to see your church, your bride, thrive and grow. It's all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.